Welcome to Commission Impossible. I am Scott Fish, and my Commission Impossible co-host normally is Ryan McDowell. We've become known for commissioning over the years and got together to start a podcast to help other commissioners out. If you are new to the show, all of the episodes are pretty evergreen, which means you can do what many people do, go back and binge them. We love to hear when that's happening and see when that happens. What we do here is go over league settings, league running styles, whatever, listener questions, bad commissioner stories, good commissioner stories, anything that's fun, really, that and interesting that has to do with leagues. If you want to email us with a story or a league setting or a question or whatever, you can email us at commishpod@gmail.com. Now, on to the show. Today's going to be one of those fun, let's talk about a league things. Last week, you may have noticed we did not have a show, which we swore we weren't going to do, but I came home from Las Vegas. My 6-year-old had strep and the flu both at the same time. Then my wife got the flu and I got the flu, and then we both got strep. So it was a long week of not being able to use my voice for podcasting. So we didn't get one, but we're here. We're back. We're going to start banking some. Anyway, we are here today with John Bosch. He is going to talk about his league, Fog of War. If you know John, he's been on the show a couple times. He's making his triumphant return, and he always has some of the most unique settings. We talked about, go listen to his podcast, his Dynasty podcast with Heath Cummings, the CBS Dynasty show. That one was great. But he always has great, great settings and great, fun, interesting leagues. And we're going to talk about one of those today. How you doing, John?
I am doing all right, Scott. Just been sitting around all day doing absolutely nothing, you know?
Yeah, I do. That's why we decided to do a podcast.
Yeah. Definitely not been working on SFB all day.
Oh my gosh. I swear we work on that more than we work on our real life jobs anymore. I'm getting a nod across the airwaves.
Yes. I kept track. I 100% can confirm that I did in 2023.
Yeah. That's kind of the way it goes. But Fog of War, give the listeners just like a basic, before we go deep in it, just give a basic what your paragraph or so elevator pitch of Fog of War would be, just like your simple explanation so they can get prepped for what's about to come.
Let's see. So the bylaws are probably about a million characters. The elevator pitch. It is essentially a best ball league where the player acquisition is all done through blind bidding or trading, but all player acquisition is done through blind bidding. There's no auction. There's no draft. If you want a player, you submit a blind bid. If you're at the top, you win. It's also 5 copies. It's a bunch of divisions. You win prizes based on division, conference, and overall finish. So that's the elevator pitch, I think.
Okay. So blind bidding, fab bidding for everything. You are bidding what you want, and you have no idea what any other user in the league is bidding. That already makes it pretty exciting. Pretty exciting. The not having a live auction or draft, do people find that, do people wish that there was that part of the league, or they just love the blindness of it?
So, you know, I love an auction. An auction is my second favorite format to start. The blind bidding ends up being way more fun.
Okay.
So I don't know how you could pair it, because you either kind of have to do all or nothing. If you're going to do a blind bidding based league, yes, it takes away from that all day experience of the auction. It takes away from the draft pick of being able to trade and stuff like that. And when it's your pick, yeah, you get to pick a player, whatever. Totally boring format. I set my blind bids to run every day at like 11 in the morning Eastern time, because time zone bias. But what it does is every morning there's a little discussion of people.
Oh, sure.
Talking about the players that are up, you know.
Who didn't get – oh, okay. Yeah, let's take a step back. Okay. How is it set up? Let's say we're starting up. It's the first year of Fog of War. You do a blind bid each morning, and is there a certain amount of players or specific players that go in each morning?
Yes, that's a great way to start. So when I originally started it, I allowed people to nominate. So like day one, these 14 people could nominate. Day okay. two, different 14 people could nominate. Since it's five copies, every day there'd be five copies of these 14 players. I don't recommend that anymore.
Okay. when we do experimental leagues and everybody listening who does experimental leagues learns, you learn real quick that first year and know how to do it better.
If you're doing a single copy league of this, I think it would be way more fun to have every single person nominate every single day. And then on the nomination list, those are the players you could bid on.
Okay.
With 70 people in a league, half the time some people didn't put in a nomination. That became a pain. So what I transitioned to now is I just divide it. I say these 20 players, because some of the players are terrible and aren't going to even get a bid.
Right.
So we're going to go for a lot. So I break it out. I pull every available player. I split them into a multiple of usually 20, right around there. And then I post on the message board, day one, this is the list of 20. Day two, this is the list of 20. So before the draft, before the blind bid runs even begin, you know that on day 17, well, that's when Patrick Mahomes is going to be coming up.
Oh boy. Yeah.
It makes
you can see, fun, you can see planning. All the days. That's what you're saying. Yes. They can see all the days who's going to be up.
Yeah. It made it much easier for me once I transitioned to that, not to deal with trying to get people to put their nominations up. And it allows that planning of people trying to save for specific players at the end. When do you try and get deals? It becomes, it's the Wild West. I mean, it really is. You have no idea what somebody else is going to do.
Right.
One copy league. I think it's fun to do the nominations though.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. And everybody starts with the same amount of fab. Is fab tradable? That kind of thing.
Yep. Yep. Fab is of course tradable because that's very, very fun. We usually started, I think when we did the startup, everybody got 1,000. We bid to the second decimal place because with five copies, there could be ties. increment, the less likely you are to get a tie. So make it a second, make it a second decimal point. Let somebody spend an extra penny and then they get the player. You don't have to worry about tie breaking then in any of those scenarios.
And also people try to make sure you have tie breaking rules for
games,
fab, waivers, auctions, playoffs, playoff games, playoff scores. Just remember that, users, listeners, please try to remember to do those. Those do not all apply here, but back to the fab. So that's how you do the startup. Do you continue with fab and blind nominations for free agents after all the players are acquired, like within the season? Like obviously this is a dynasty league. So a guy like Puka Nacua obviously would have been a startup player, but let's say there's a really awesome out of nowhere guy that's a free agent pops up week one. Is that
it's usually a backup quarterback.
Okay. Backup quarterback. Is that just normal fab, like a normal league, or is there anything different to it in this?
So what we do is we run 1 week of waivers. It's after week eight.
On
Wednesday after week eight, we run waivers Wednesday, Thursday. Thursday they go twice because they're at the regular time of 11 a.m. Plus then again, like 8 p.m. Eastern, right before kickoff, Thursday night football.
Sure.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they go at 11 a.m. and noon. Monday they go at 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. So there's lots of times to put in. And it's at that point, then it's everybody. Everybody is open. Any available any available player. The money that you don't spend in the off-season blind bids carries in. Plus, we actually use draft picks as tradable future blind bid.
Sure.
Watch all that out. And so if you have in our league, it happens to be the fifth and sixth round picks, they convert to a certain amount of money. Those get added in for your in-season blind bid run.
Oh, for the in-season.
Like you said. Run. Yeah, yeah. So like you said, there's always one or two. Like a couple years ago, Geno Smith was on the waiver wire. And of course, then all of a sudden he's roster teams. Yeah. Every year that happens and it's always fun. Usually some running backs, usually one or two quarterbacks that become valuable. Because what you can do then, if you happen to pluck them off the waiver wire, you can then, if you're terrible, you can trade them for a future draft pick. So you basically get something for the future for a nice little bonus.
Nice. Okay. So if I got this right, you have first through sixth, one, two, three, four, five, six rounds of blind bidding amounts that you get based on the way you do the draft, whether it be whatever potential points, backwards of standings, all play a combination of stuff. The first through fourth you get after the season, but the fifth and sixth rounders you get mid season to be able to use in that mid season run. So it's basically a rookie money auction, auction dollars scenario. Only there's two extra rounds and you get those in season.
It's not just rookie. It is rookie free agent in the off season. Cause well, they're,
yeah. yes, of course.
We're like, yep. we're like week nine and beyond. I know, but what that makes it fun then, like week nine and beyond when somebody comes from nowhere, then he's roster.
yeah.
Then they're sitting there and like, you know, you're going to have rookies that are going to be exciting, but it's really, really fun.
And it's best ball.
It breaks out. It is best ball.
Okay.
So there's no, at least in mine. I mean, you could set it up however you want. The blind bit what makes it fun and exciting. But so every once in a while you get a player that has, you know, a late breakout and has a good playoff run. And then they're a good piece to get in that offseason. Nice.
And then you got trading throughout the season, I assume, through the playoffs in this one.
Yeah, we trade. There's no playoffs in this one. This one is, since it's a 70 team league. It's
okay. It's just straight up total points.
Yeah, total points. You can, like, every division is seven teams, so there's 10 divisions. There's five divisions per conference, and is the whole. So you win prizes where you finish based in your division, based in your conference, based on the overall is how I have it set up, because some of those teams at the bottom, it's good to give them a little motivation to at least win back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So even though it's a 70 team leaderboard, there are two conferences, five divisions in each conference.
Yeah.
And you win money is it random how they're separated by divisions, or is it by last year's standings?
It is based on last year's standings. Obviously the higher divisions play for a higher prize. The higher conference plays for a higher.
Oh, it's tiered ladder. Yeah.
So if you're playing in the very bottom division, you're playing for the lowest divisional prize.
Okay.
Now, anybody that comes in, because in my leagues, I do dispersals. So if there are teams that leave, there are teams that come in, they restart at the bottom. You're automatically at the bottom. Yep. If you second chance, you automatically go to the bottom. Yep. Sometimes like the bottom two divisions play for the exact same prize, because it might be 14 teams that are new or second chancing. So
my favorite in a Premier League or a relegation or ladder style like that of deciding the divisions or whatever is when you get more than enough teams to completely fill up the bottom so that everybody basically moves up. Who was there the year before?
Yeah. There was one year I moved up like four divisions, like, because so many people, like, I think it might've been the year after the startup when people were like, okay, I really messed that up.
Either I messed that up, I want a second chance, or I messed that up, this is not for me.
we had like half the league, half the league rejoin and go to the bottom automatically.
Nice. Yeah. I like that. I like that you give that option of the, obviously we're big dispersal fans in here, but I like that you give the option for people to just drop back down. And especially in a league this large. Yeah. It's, if someone playing to win, why not let them drop back down, because they're going to be playing for less money instead of, you know, sometimes that's a concern with dispersals, having a champ be super old and whatnot. And then they, you know, they win and then they're like, oh, let's do second chance. And then they have a young team again and they're fighting for the same prize. In this one, at least you have to go to the bottom and fight for a lower prize. If you try to do
that, you can still win the whole league from the very bottom.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But yep.
You can't win all of the maximum prizes, which is really nice.
are there big differences between the prizes? I mean, just you don't have to give me the exact numbers, but
it's much easier to just give you the exact numbers.
large gaps or
no, so the divisional prize for the top division is $30. It's a $35 buy-in. The divisional prize for the bottom is $20. So,
it
goes down like a dollar, everyone, just for the division.
So that's only 12, like two conferences. That's 10 prizes in the 20 to 30 range. So it's like, that's only $200 to $300. You're 250. Mm-hmm. Let's just say you're spending on that. All the rest of the money, the 70 teams, $35 at 70 teams. All the rest is for the overall.
Nope.
Good. I was going to say that's a lot. Let's hear the top four
in each conference get a prize.
They get an additional
prize. The upper conference prizes are worth about 2x of the lower conference prizes. And then the top eight of the overall get a prize as well.
Okay.
So usually, I mean, obviously, if you win the conference, you're going to win your division. Yep. If you win the overall, you also win your conference. You also win your division. So usually it's, you know, the same stack up. But what ends up happening is Division A and Division B, those are the teams that were the best the previous year. They might not win their division. They might not even finish in the top four of their conference.
Right.
Finish in the top five, six, seven of the league. So they at least still then get a prize that is more than what they paid for their buy-in, even though they didn't win at all. So no matter what, like, you always have a motivation to want to be winning
and moving up. Yeah.
Yeah. You want to move up. It's beneficial to move up.
Yeah. Division wise, it's not quite as beneficial as moving up a conference, but yes.
Making that conference jump is huge.
Yeah, that division 6 to 5 jump is seems pretty large. So you get the division winner of each of the 10 divisions with wins $20 to $30. It's small, but it's a little under your league feedback, which is nice.
Yeah.
But then the top four in the conference win money. Is the top four in the conference top four no matter what division, or is it just among the five division winners?
It's anywhere in that division.
Anywhere in the division. In the conference.
In your division, you could be second place in the conference if you just happen to be in the division with the best team. So, again, another way to make it a little bit more fair.
Yeah, that makes sense because it would suck. It would be a bad beat to be – you know, the second best team, but you're in the division with the first best team. But over in the overall standings, you're like, wait a second, I'm right next to him.
So, you could literally be the second best team in the league from the bottom division. You're not going to win any division prize, but you would win a conference prize and an overall prize.
Right. And then you got the top eight overall, which I like. I think it's a good splashing different prizes around to different levels of this. I enjoy this. Is there anything extra to this league? That's a ton. That's an absolute ton. But the only daunting part would be the mental stress of blind bidding to this point. Everything else seems very, very well laid out, I would say. That's how I would put it. It seems like a very well laid out league. It's just a lot of mental stress with the fog of unknowing, right?
Yeah, it's extremely exciting for periods throughout the year. So when we have there's always a dispersal because there's always going to be turnover in a league this size.
Yeah.
So that dispersal is always a fun thing to start the calendar year with as we switch over. Sometimes end. I think this year I got it done right before the calendar year flipped, actually. Well, I got it right done before the MFL calendar flipped, I should say. Then we have the rookie time. So that's another exciting time because everybody's involved in that. The first one, usually there's, you know, whatever, 10, 15, 20 teams, somewhere in that range. But it feels like a startup because you're going to have multiple copies of it. So you're going to get that feeling. Then there's nothing to do but trade, which there is a lot of trading.
That's awesome.
Positioning, getting those rookie dollars for that rookie free agent waiver runs.
Right.
After that, it usually does go a little bit quiet. Some people will really like where they stand. Some people won't. So there is some movement. But then as the season begins, that's when you really start to see trading pick up.
Yeah.
With this many people in the league, if you want a player, you can go find that player.
Yeah. Anytime you got a not just multi-copy, but five multi-copies, one of those five people is probably willing to make a deal if you want a specific player. That's one of the best benefits of multi-copy leagues. I do have two more questions. Sorry for I love asking questions about leagues. So especially
this is what I'm here for.
Listeners might like. One, does the money roll over like a bankroll league, the FAB? And also the second one, I feel like that's a quick answer. So the second one I'll just roll right into. How does the dispersal work? Is it the same exact thing? All the players that have been dropped, you do 20 a day, you pick the 20, there's a schedule for it.
So one, it's not a bankroll. It does reset after the end of the year. It does carry from the off season into the in season waiver runs.
Right.
But for the in season waiver runs, everybody gets zeroed out.
Good. I like that for the setup you have. I really like that.
Yeah, it works. It works out pretty well. It's a lot, makes the dispersal easier.
Yes.
Because I don't have to divide up like bankrolls and stuff like that. What I do with the dispersal, I take all the future picks of all the teams in the dispersals. They all get averaged out and then everybody gets the same amount. If you're a second chancing team, you can't come in and make money. So right. if your amount is going to decrease the average amount, you keep what you had.
I love it.
And you can still get players. You can still come in, throw your players out. But everybody gets the same budget for the dispersal. That's a separate budget. Okay. Future budget will be. So everybody gets the same for the dispersal budget. It does not carry over anywhere. It is fully tradable within the dispersal.
Within, yep.
The dispersing managers can trade with each other. It is not completely open free agents because, like I said, after week eight, after those waivers, sometimes there is a breakout player. That breakout player is not going to be involved in the dispersal. So the only players that are involved in the dispersal are those that were on rosters. Every copy of that player is on in the dispersal because if there was only one copy on a roster and the other four were on the waivers, I'm not putting that work on me to make sure only one copy gets there. So the rules explicitly state that if a player has a single copy on any of the dispersing team's rosters, mm-hmm. all copies of that player are available.
Okay. Nice. I think that all of that makes sense. That's the way I would have done it too. I think in my head, this is excuse me. This is a fun sounding league. I like that a lot of this can be applicable to a listener. Just like that, it's a great setup. Even if you're not doing fab, even if you're not doing Fog of War fab style bidding on everything, just mm-hmm. the setup of the, you know, the ladder of it, the conferences, how the payouts work. Those are things people can take from this when starting something else, you know, fun about a unique experimental type league. But I really enjoy this. I don't know that it'd be for me. I don't know that I could handle the mental stress of the fab bidding. I already don't like fab bidding that much, so I don't know.
I hate waivers. Like, I absolutely hate waivers. I don't do them in season in regular leagues because I just don't like it. If I do them, I just put all 100 on, like, my SFE waivers. It's usually 100 and then everybody else is zero the rest of the year. That's just
exactly
how, like, I'd rather go pick up a player I know I can just pick up and not worry about them when I can.
But in this particular league,
it's, you end up, it makes you really think about player value in
it. Does not,
it, cause you're not just thinking about it. Just how much do you value this player? You really end up thinking, how much does everybody else value this player? I want to get this player for $1 more than the maximum bid. Because with a five copy, you see every price.
Right.
So one copy goes for 200, one copy goes for 150, one copy goes for 140, one for 145. Like, ooh, that person that paid 200, you feel that. You feel time. Yeah. It hurts. But when you're the person that gets it for 100 and everybody else paid 150, you feel that too. And that feels pretty good. So...
So you said you start with 1,000 though for the startup, and then each year there's about 1,000 more. Is that the?
It ranges between 800. Basically, the last place team, their blind bid all adds up to 800. Uh-huh. The 190. So if you win, your picks are not worth a lot.
Good luck.
Your first and second round picks are worth something. But they're not worth a lot. And what we see in this league is it's very tough to win.
That is pretty cutthroat. Yeah. And if you win, it's nearly impossible to win a game back to back.
Basically, the people that win never have picks because they have pushed. They've made that move. So I think that aspect, plus going down the stretch, you can see I'm down by 20 points. I need 20 more points in my lineup this week. So people definitely push to make it becomes very, very active. But people are trying, and not just trying to jump up like in the overall, like 20 points might make the difference in you winning your division and getting $20 out of it. So there's a lot of people that are motivated to make trades in the last few weeks of the year when they can really see achievable margins to jump.
Yeah, I bet. I bet they have a good idea of the points that they are buying with those trades. Yep. Absolutely. John, this league.
I think I traded for Ryan Fitzpatrick in this league a few years ago. And like he ended up having an awesome week 16. I knew I was paying for just that, but I think it bumped me up like prize wise. I didn't win the league.
Right.
But it raised me up. It raised me up in the overall standings.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That was worth it. It's totally worth it.
It's worth it. Yeah. You made a trade that got you an extra 20, 30 bucks or whatever it was.
Yep.
I like it. John, it sounds like a pretty awesome league. Hopefully there's lots of just fun for people listening to that style league. Maybe they're interested next year when you have some openings in Fog of War. They tell them where they can find you in case of that, or in case they want to pick your brain on other settings or whatever, really. They just tell them where they can find you.
I am at John Bosch FF on Twitter. That is where you can find me. The main podcast that I do is on the Dynasty Trade Calculator feed. So you can find me over there doing Dynasty Wall Street with Russ Fisher and Travis May. Great time right now because Travis is legit great. He is a cheat code. So definitely recommend tuning over there.
That's awesome. Yeah. I should ask you, I probably don't need to ask you. I think I can make a pretty good assumption, but you said it's $35 and you're a League Safe guy, right? You do it on League Safe?
Yes. Yes. Everything on League Safe. We of course donate to Fantasy Cares, a nice big chunk. I don't think I need to pump Fantasy Cares and SFB on here. I'm guessing everybody on that's listening to this has probably heard of those organizations.
You know, Ryan and I really don't much, so it doesn't hurt, but it's nice to, I don't know. I like having you on for for those reasons as well. Cause you're a pretty big proponent of things like that.
Yeah. I do a little bit of work for Fantasy Cares and SFB.
A little bit. Thanks a lot, John. And that's another episode of Commission Impossible. Make sure to give us a 5-star review on whatever you listen to podcasts on. Tell your friends, tell your league mates, tell your commissioners, tell people you see walking down the street, cold email everybody you know. I don't care what you have to do. Let everybody know about our show. Follow John on Twitter at John Bosch FF. Follow me on Twitter, ScottFish24. Follow Ryan on Twitter, even though he's not here, Ryan MC23. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.